KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Yesterday evening, Portland Mayor Ted Wheeler held another community listening session. This one hosted a local person of color-led social justice organization, Unite Oregon, on North Killingsworth. KBOO's Candace Schlesinger was in attendance and was able to speak with Mayor Wheeler and Unite Oregon's executive director, Casey Jama.
I was wondering if, so you used the word radical to describe some of the reforms within the public school system, and I was wondering if you were like willing to take a more radical approach with listening to some of the more marginalized communities here and have some sort of like meetings where you invite groups that are trying to elevate our communities that have the least amount of voice, LGBTQIA+,
sure.
Black Lives Matter, Don't Shoot PDX. There's a myriad of groups out there, but historically, if we look back at civil rights issues, it's the fringe left, it's the radical left that ended up initiating these issues, and it's that, in my opinion, is the case now. And I'm just wondering, like, what you're willing to do to kind of like bring those voices into the fold.
I'm the only mayor in America that I'm aware of that's willing to stand on his front porch in a bathrobe, knowing it's going right to YouTube Live. There really is no group I won't meet with. If people want to sit down with me and have a conversation and share.
But it shouldn't have to be in your bathrobe at your house.
Well, and people shouldn't have to see me in my bathrobe, to be honest.
No, I mean, that's not okay.
But the larger point is, I have very thick skin, yeah. And I've met with lots of different people, and I'm certainly happy and willing to do it. And I'll just go back to what I said at the beginning of the meeting. I understand that I have my own history, my own background, my own traditions, and that is one small sliver of what this community represents. There's so many different people from different places, experiences, histories, traditions, religions, and I want to respect that reality, and I'm the mayor for everyone here. Whether they love me or hate me, whether they agree with me or disagree with me profoundly, they have a right to be heard by me, and I try to create a space where we can do that. Everybody can be heard in a respectful environment.
Can you give me like one concrete way you might go about doing that?
Well, this is one concrete way, for example. I'll give you a different example.
Please.
So some many number of weeks ago, there was a group of people who came to the Portland City Council, and they were very upset about a particular issue. It happened to be homeless people who had frozen to death or died of exposure during the snowstorms in January. And they were really upset about it. I totally understand why they were so upset about it. But that forum wasn't the right opportunity or the right time to express it. And I said, hey, listen, if you'll let us get through the city council meeting, I'll go over to the park across the street and we'll spend some time together and we can talk it out. And we did. And I thought we had a really good conversation. There was some anger there, and there were some people who were really frustrated, but we had the interaction, we had an opportunity to talk, and it led to some really good ideas that we followed up on later.
Cool. I don't want to take up any else time because I know you want to ask things, do you see like some of that outrage that's leading to people to do things that are been labeled like as disruptive or counterproductive? Do you see that as like a barometer for like kind of like what's going on in those communities? I mean, it takes a lot for people to get that enraged, right? Where they're like literally trying to prevent you from doing your business and preventing from things from going forward.
I do. And I believe the anger and the frustration and the impatience is completely genuine. I don't think it is manufactured. That being said, we still have to conduct the business of the city, and the city council is still a place where all residents of the city should feel welcome coming and testify. So I think I can both hear what people are expressing and react to that and get the business of the city council done at the same time. And the best way that I could think of to do it is just get out of City Hall and go and meet people where they are, meet them on the street corner, talk to them in events like this. To some degree, I interact on Facebook and Twitter, although I'm increasingly thinking that's where reason and civility go to die. But we're trying to find as many opportunities as we can. But I also just want to say it's not just a Portland thing. You know, mm-hmm. I talk to mayors all over the country, and people in this country are really concerned right now. They're upset, they're afraid, they don't understand what the bigger picture is, and what they're expressing is real concern for their safety, for their rights, for their economic prospects, for their kids' education and success. And as I say, those are genuine emotions. And you know, I'm one guy, but I'm one guy who has a bigger voice in a position of power and authority. And what they want me to do is use that voice in my position of power and authority to help address the issues that they're concerned about. And that's my challenge as mayor, to do that to the best of my ability.
I think they're targeting city council because that's where policy is made. That's where, like, that's where the rubber hits the road.
Right? So I mean, all politics is local.
Yeah.
So maybe we can find some way to pass legislation in parks. You know,
yeah.
I know that sounds absurd, but like
it's not absurd at all. In fact, I would like to see the Portland City Council move around to different areas where we're discussing policies that impact different communities. And, you know, some people have to work during the day. Maybe we should have evening sessions.
A lot of people, evening sessions.
Yeah, a lot of people aren't mobile, mm-hmm. and asking people to go down to City Hall in the middle of the day—it's a hassle for a lot of people. And so these public meetings that I'm having now started out during the day. And people said, you know what, would you mind doing them at night? And I'm like, sure. And the attendance has been much better since we moved them to the evenings because more people can attend.
Right. I can imagine. Thank you.
Yeah, you're
appreciate
welcome.
Sure. Can we do pleasure questions?
Thank you.
We're going to jam.
You don't have time for questions. So you said you would give out your contact info if
yes.
we had any questions.
We have.
And do you actually, is this like your actual contact info or is this like a staff member?
So I was just wondering, you know, what your role in this was. Like, did you organize this? I imagine that's kind of what they're making it out to be. And I just kind of wanted to get a little bit of your perspective into what spurred you to organize this.
Well, I mean, I think, as you know, he's actually going into the community and doing more community listening sessions. So I think this was a partnership between the mayor's office and us. They reached out to us and said, do you want to host a community listening session?
Mm-hmm.
And of course, you know, I said yes, because I think it's important. It's important that the elected official is getting out of their comfort zone and going to the community where they serve. So I'm grateful that instead of him sitting the city hall and expecting people will come and to meet with him, he's actually shifting that conversation to the more public listening, community listening session. So I feel like it's an important, and as you can see that it was very small and very intimate.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, our role pretty much for me, I'm a big player of democracy and making sure that elected officials should be at the same level of the people that they're supposed to be serving rather than just being higher. So to me, this is one example, you know, and I think that as far as I'm concerned, the conversation was very intimate and frank, and we covered a lot of issues, and I hope there will be some, you know, follow-ups from his staff and from the community. So I hope he will continue to do that.
Mm-hmm. Do you feel comfortable being critical on record of, like, you know, if I ask you a question, say, like, you know, where do you feel Mayor Wheeler's weakest areas are, or where do you think he really needs to step up, or he hasn't yet?
Well, I think that, to be honest with you, just in general terms, you know, I think, you know, anytime someone steps into the blade of being a mayor of city, I mean, at least it's a difficult position to be. Having said that, you know, in terms of the I think for me it's like always like I want to see more. He's been in the office for 3 months. I mean, definitely the issues that I see that I think I feel like one of the most critical aspects of this city that I will hope he will continue to engage and address, it's around police issues and police accountability.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think we have a serious problems in our police department and in an institution that needs to change for the better. And that that's an institution that actually needs to be held accountable. So I will hope that that will be, he will be pay special attention to that. Department of Senate is the police commissioner, and I hope there will be some reform that will, he will lead some sort of a reform that will help the community heal. Mm-hmm. Because I think there's a lot of challenge with that, our police department.
Yeah. And what about with respect to immigration and, you know, the federal enforcement of immigration executive orders that are not going to stop getting passed down in the foreseeable future? You know, we've passed in the city council a couple of weeks ago, we passed that motion to declare Portland this and that, you know, safe, sanctuary, welcoming, words like that. But, you know, how do you think we really like put our truest effort behind words like that? You know, like declaring it a sanctuary city and ordering the Portland Police Department to not cooperate with ICE is one thing, but ICE is going to be operating irrespective of that. So, you know, what would you like to see happen? I know I ask this because you brought up that topic when we were circled up.
I think the reality is that, so let's just, you know, step back. The reality is that, as you know, that immigration is a federal issue.
Mm-hmm.
You know, then you have the division of our government. You have the state, who also plays a role.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have the counties, and then you have the cities. So in order to this immigration issue, the complexity of what role the city can play, what role the county can play, what role the state can play, what role federal government can play, it's all interconnected, and it's a very complex system. So one entity can do so much without interacting with the other entity. So I think in general, so I think my hope in terms of the immigration, that I'm glad that the cities, you know, just a couple of weeks ago passed the inclusionary resolution and sexuality resolution. But I think, again, I think I've been encouraging our both local and federal elected officials and to really come together, and the county, to come all of them together in the state, because I think without that common strategy, we cannot you know, push back on the federal government, mm-hmm. ICE government, especially the Department of Homeland Security and ICE agencies. So to me, you know, it has to be that way, because